been more than 4 years since the financial crisis hit, and the banking industry still has problems. It's struggling to find a new business model that works and to deal with a number of new regulations. All of these things are forcing Wall Street to reinvent itself. We're joined now by Tom Braithwaite, the U.S. banking editor at the Financial Times. He headed up a new series at the paper called The New Wall Street. And we have a link to it on our show page at WNYC.org. Welcome to our show, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
Generally speaking, what's the mood on Wall Street? Are most firms healthy and profitable again?
I think they've certainly sprung back to some extent since 2008 and the crisis, of course, but we're now talking about much lower levels of profitability than they were earning in the boom years in 2005, 2006. And I think a lot of them are struggling to see whether or not they can get back to that sort of level.
The efficacy and even the necessity of the Dodd-Frank financial regulation bill was a major point of contention between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in the debate last night. What kinds of limits does Dodd-Frank put on the major banks?
Well, it attacks them in several different areas, or rather puts regulations in several different areas. So derivatives trading is made more transparent than in the past. There is a new Consumer Protection Bureau supposed to guard against exploitation of consumers. It finds a new system that should be used to take down a big failing institution like Lehman Brothers with a bit more safety than we found in the crisis. So it's a 2,300-page bill act now, and it really tackles Wall Street in a lot of different areas. Should make it more safer, but should also make it less profitable than in the past.
Well, these regulations are aimed at curbing the practices that got us into this crisis in the first place. And is Wall Street looking forward to having another crisis? Wouldn't it want to have some regulations in place that would prevent this sort of thing from happening again?
Well, I think they like certain bits of it, and they recognize that certainly they cannot go back to the good old days that turn out to be the bad old days. But at the same time, there are certain elements. You take the Volcker rule, for example, that stops them taking their own bets on various markets.
Well, that hasn't gone into effect yet.
Hasn't gone into effect. The regulators are way behind schedule, and we're waiting for it by the end of the year now. But it's already forcing them to change their business. They've had to sell off the hedge funds they owned in the past just in preparation for this new rule coming into effect.
Now, has there been heavy lobbying to keep the Volcker rule from going into effect for a while?
Yeah, I mean, you can find the federal regulators have to track the meetings they have with various bankers, and you can see quite transparently that senior Wall Street executives are in at the Federal Reserve and other regulators, at least not trying to get rid of it because, of course, they can't, but trying to tamp it down, make sure that it's not as harmful as they fear it's going to be.
You're right. There's one area where senior bankers do agree, and it's surprising in the current environment. Despite the onslaught of regulation, they say officials will loosen the fetters if the rules restrict business too much. So do the banks feel that in the end no one will really make it all that hard for them?
I think they've got a little bit more relaxed, and I think part of the issue is that they see the capital rules, which are international rules coming out of Switzerland. They reckon that's really going to hurt certain parts of their business, particularly mortgages. So it's going to be harder to securitize mortgages, to buy them and then package them into securities and sell them off. They reckon, and I think they have some argument here, that ultimately makes it more difficult for them to lend and potentially pushes up the cost of home loans. Now, that might be a price worth paying, but I think that price is certainly embedded in that rule, and they reckon ultimately people around the world, regulators around the world, will reckon that might be a price that's too high.
But interest rates are so low.
No, that's right. In the current environment, I think it's not going to be easy for them to force that through, but I think they're saying as interest rates inevitably rise in the coming years, and one of them said to me it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years before the pendulum swings back in the other direction, that it is going to be loosened.
Wall Street was largely in support of Mr. Obama in 2008. What about this time? Do they feel that they'll do better with Mr. Romney or with Mr. Obama?
Well, it was fascinating last night to see Mr. Romney saying that they've received the biggest kiss from Dodd-Frank, this new regulation. I think actually they're much more comfortable with Mr. Romney. And you can see from some of the donations that that has really moved in his direction. Some of the people who are out there not only donating but raising money from their colleagues for Mr. Obama have gone precisely the opposite direction. So J.P. Morgan, the co-head of investment banking there, was hitting up his colleagues last time round for money for Obama. This time he's doing it for Romney. That pattern is in evidence across the street.
And that's despite the fact that things have been turning out rather well for them. And as we said earlier, they really don't fear that the government will make things too hard for them.
Well, I think there's two things. First of all, they are having to adapt to this new regulatory world, and perhaps they've just got a little bit more used to it. But certainly it has hit profits and will prevent them getting back to the sort of profitability that they enjoyed in the past. So perhaps they've just got a bit more used to that idea now. I don't think they're happy with it. But secondly, we'll see. I mean, I think there is a lot of frustration in the directorate at the White House. Mainly, it seems rather petty, but they don't like some of the rhetoric from the president. They think he has gone out there and bad-mouthed them. I don't think they feel quite as comfortable in their job as they used to in 5 or 6 years ago.
Although they have remained too big to fail and still have the implicit backing of the U.S. Treasury. Did Occupy Wall Street have a psychological effect on many of the bankers you spoke with?
Well, I was just having lunch with a banker, actually, who was saying it kind of fizzled. And I think we all recognize that is the reality. I was in Washington, D.C. last week. There was a Occupy K Street event directed at the lobbyists there, but there was only about 50 or 60 people on the streets. I think if Occupy here had been 10 times as big and continued across the country and maybe across the world, they would have had something more to fear. But I think maybe it stiffened the resolve of certain Democrats in Congress and in the White House who want to carry on pressing the banks to reform their behavior. But ultimately, I don't think it has been a game changer that it might have looked like at one stage last year.
And there was a phrase we heard some years back, Wall Street versus Main Street. We're not hearing that much anymore, despite the fact that there have been all these scandals like the LIBOR scandal. Has the public just tuned all of that out, do you think?
No, I think there's still considerable anger out there. I think for whatever reason, it hasn't manifested itself in as many street protests as we might have thought. But no, I think the reputation of the industry has been massively damaged by the crisis. And then, as you say, all the different investigations that have stemmed from that and the misbehavior that keeps coming from so many different directions ever since.
My guest is Tom Braithwaite, the U.S. banking editor at the Financial Times, who headed up a new series at the newspaper called The New Wall Street. You write that the banks are struggling to identify a new cash cow that graces between the new rules. Beautifully put, the equivalent of the junk bonds of the 1980s or the credit derivatives of the 1990s has not been discovered. What kinds of things might that cash cow turn out to be?
Well, one would have said without the new rules that it would be some other form of Frankenstein product based on derivatives and highly structured credit instruments. I mean, that's been the pattern for the last decade and beyond. Now it's a little bit more harder, as I say, and you're hard-pressed to find anyone out there really selling a brave new idea. It's much more defensive. It's how do we adapt? How can we cut people? How can we cut bonuses? Much more that than coming up with the next new driver of profits.
Well, we had junk bonds causing the savings and loan scandal many years ago. Credit derivatives were a major cause of the 2008 financial crisis. Do you think that Wall Street's expectations of profitability have been skewed by the excesses of the last 30 years or so?
Yeah, I think so. And interestingly, we've got an interview in tomorrow's FT with James Gorman, the head of Morgan Stanley, and he makes that point that really a lot of these profits turned out to be a mirage. They didn't really exist, and the losses came afterwards. So I think there are at least some people on Wall Street who say we are, from our own self-interest, we are going to have to come up with a more conservative, safer business model, less reliant on some of these sexy, yet ultimately, you point out very well, destructive innovations that we've seen over the last 20, 30 years.
So the financial industry is taking fewer risks these days? Or thinking about taking fewer risks?
I think it's certainly taking fewer risks, and part of that is the new capital rules and various other regulations. I mean, look, let's face it, if indeed rules are loosened, if indeed animal spirits come back, there will be someone out there pushing the next new thing and the next driver of profits and revenue. And I don't think we can safely say that dynamic has changed forever.
One of the areas of contention is that there have been a lot of incentives put in place to get the banks lending again, and yet we're not seeing them do that. Why?
Well, from their point of view, a lot of them say that the reality is that there isn't demand. We're still in a very weak, sluggish economy. I'm sure there are many of your listeners who would dispute that and say it's harder than ever for them to get a loan at a decent rate. Certainly, again, partly due to the regulations, it is now much more difficult to get a new mortgage loan. Standards have correctly got much higher. You have to have a much higher credit score and put down a much bigger down payment. Maybe that, again, is a price worth paying, but certainly it is. It's tightened credit out there. And also many of them are still rebuilding their balance sheets. They're not entirely flush with cash. They've got to really concentrate on retaining earnings and not lending it out at the moment. That's not necessarily an excuse, but that is a reality on the ground.
What was Wall Street's reaction to the Federal Reserve's announcement that it was going to give us another round of quantitative easing?
I think, by and large, very happy with it. If you just look at the reaction on the stock market, and that's one obvious case, but also the ones that have big mortgage businesses are really enjoying the fruits of that. It's become much more profitable for them to write mortgages as the Fed buys mortgage-backed securities. So it's been quite a boon to Wall Street, and I think they're enjoying what Ben Bernanke has attempted to do.
Aren't many banks and investment firms moving toward a reliance on electronic trading? What impact is that having on the industry?
Well, I think it means that the dynamic that we all imagine Wall Street bankers barking into the phone is going to eventually go the way of the dinosaur, and it is all about high-powered machines and who has the quickest technology. What it's going to do, I think it's too early to say. It's possible that the banks themselves get shut out of that, because if you don't need much specialist people, but instead you just need the fastest machine, then maybe the buy-side firms, the Fidelities and BlackRocks of this world, can just trade amongst themselves. Perhaps they don't need Wall Street in the middle. That's a debate that's playing out at the moment.
And that could have a real impact on New York, which is where most of the major banks and financial firms are based and have large offices.
Certainly an argument that some of the firms based out in Chicago, for example, which is where a lot of the high-frequency trading operations sit, are going to be the big winners here. And for New York, yeah, it certainly we're already seeing job losses, excuse me, and we're seeing bonus cuts, which flows directly into the city and state revenue. So it is a big challenge for New York as to what the new Wall Street is going to look like.
So the banks are cutting costs, as you said earlier. Does that have more to do with fears about regulations or the fact that the outlook for the entire global economy is fairly sour at the moment?
Very tricky to separate the two, but they're both certainly there. I think, you know, there aren't many people who have a tremendous amount of confidence in the general state of the economy, and that's both here, although, of course, we're doing a lot better than Europe, but generally across the world, whether you take China, whether you take the UK and Europe, there is tremendous weaknesses and uncertainty. In that environment, people aren't hiring because they're not really seeing the volumes that would necessitate it. On top of that, you've got the new regulations, which mean, again, if you're trying to cut costs, your biggest expense, particularly in this business, are your people, and we're going to see more job losses and cuts to bonuses ahead.
And the fact that they're not hiring has led graduates to not look for jobs at banks. But are the bank? Go ahead.
No, I think it's interesting, as you say, if you look at some of the statistics coming out of the big business schools, people are looking more towards, if they want to stay in finance, they might look at private equity firms or hedge funds, and more are going into the sort of consultancy jobs that they might not have done a few years ago. Perhaps more encouragingly, perhaps this is better for all of us, quite a lot of them, anecdotally, want to become entrepreneurs, and maybe that is, maybe it's not a sad state of affairs that the majority of business school classes don't head to Wall Street.
And some critics of the banks said that the complexity of the financial industry and the lure of big profits pulled people away from even sciences, where there was a certain amount of brain drain. Well, maybe we'll get people going back into science. Are the bank cost-cutting measures reflected in the pay packages given to the top executives?
Well, interesting. If you go to the very top, it's harder to see. But, I mean, you still have the chief executives earning about $20 million is a rough number for the big five banks. It's certainly in evidence further down the chain. And, we have one comment in one of our pieces from the head of investment banking at Citigroup, who says he's bemused to hear when people are annoyed that their pay package is only, I think, $400,000 when it was $800,000 a few years ago. So there are certainly big cuts to pay. Whether it's reflected in the C-suite, I think it is. I think they're receiving fewer millions than they were 5 years ago. But there are still some very well-paid CEOs out there.
What about private equity firms? Have they become more popular among investors as a result of what's been happening with the banks because they're less regulated than the banks?
Yeah, well, I think certainly that is the bank's fear. Private equity firms have their own issues. They need to work out how they deploy their cash at the moment when it's not a particularly healthy environment for deal making. Not many corporates want to sell themselves at these depressed levels. So I think there's a big question mark over that industry as well. But certainly there is the possibility that they start to eat more and more of the traditional Wall Street banks' lunch.
Tom, in just a few seconds left, how do the U.S. banks compare to their European counterparts?
I think if you were an investor, you would generally prefer to be here. I think the U.S. banks took the pain early. I think the Fed and Treasury forced them to do that.
Tom Braithwaite is the U.S. banking editor of the Financial Times. Sorry, Tom. Have to go.
Thank you very much.